Hello, good morning, and welcome to our first half 2020 earning result presentation. This is Daniel Lozano, Chief Investor Relations Officer. I'm here with David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy. Furthermore, we have invited Luis Collazo, who is the Chief Service Division Officer, and will explain his division to you later on. This is the first time we are using a video conference tool for this presentation. I sincerely hope everything works well. Well, at the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session for sell-side analysts and institutional investors. I will let you know at the end how can you ask your question, or you can read it in the chat available, that it will be posted, those instruction. Now I'll hand you over to David.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. Well, my name is David Ruiz. I'm the CEO of this company. Again, many thanks for attending our 2020 first half presentation. It is the first time, as Daniel mentioned, that we are using Zoom, so please excuse us if anything does not work as expected. We believe it's nicer and more user-friendly using a video platform, and I'm very sure that due to the circumstances we're all suffering, you're all very familiar with the tool, and no one really needs a training. Everybody will be very comfortable. Daniel Lozano, Head of IR, will also be presenting this morning, as you know, with the financials. He has previously stated, we have invited this time Luis Collazo, our Head of the Services Division, to join us and explain you what we are doing and our plans in the services area, right? As you know, we're trying to make a focus on something every quarter. Last quarter, we made a presentation on PMGDs, our distribution assets in Chile. This time we are focusing on the services department, which I'm sure will help you getting a better understanding, and getting to know better Grenergy, right? As we have always mentioned, the presentation is available for download, both in our website and in the CNMV site, where it was filed this morning, right? Let me share the presentation. Okay. We will first briefly review the main highlights of the semester. Daniel will explain you the financials, and I will be back reviewing the pipeline, which as you well know, is always our favorite part and the best way to understand in which direction the company is going. Then I will briefly explain our huge progress on ESG, and I will give the floor to Luis, which will explain you our plans for the services division, which for us is also definitely also core business and an integral part of our value chain. We believe that an area that very soon will contribute to generate EBITDA, along with the energy generation division. We will try to take more than 35, 40 minutes of your time, and after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. There is a disclaimer on page number one, which is quite important that you're familiar with it. Let's get started with the highlights. Going first to the financials, I believe we had, after all, a good semester. Let's just think that out of the 6 months of the period, well, for nearly full four months, we had nearly full four months of lockdown in many of the countries where we operate. Some countries like Peru, Argentina, and Mexico were closed for some time under severe lockdowns, so we had to stop construction works. But still, we've managed to do quite well. And as we stated back in May, the best news was Chile, that well, some work slowed down a little bit, but so far construction activity was not affected. Our net profit reached 4.6 million for the period. This is compared to 7 million euros last year. Well, this has been affected by several factors, as we explained quite well in the financial report. We had larger financial expenses due to the increased corporate debt. This was expected, but we also faced some temporal exchange rate differences, I believe due to COVID and the depreciation of local currencies and US against euro. I believe otherwise our net result would have been pretty similar to last year's for the same period. Regarding the EBITDA, we have reached 9.5 million. This is basically very close to what we obtained last year. Our EBITDA is still entirely generated from our very active build-to-sell division in Chile. And this will remain like this in Q3, but well, from Q4, the picture will change a lot, and we will be generating energy sales, and this will get increasingly a more important share of our EBITDA. And our services division will also contribute as well, as Luis will explain you later. We reached a revenue of 56.3 million euros in the period. Out of this figure, 31 million came from sales to third parties, and 27 million came from the works to our own assets. We consider these figures good for the period. Honestly, we were expecting much better figures at the beginning of the year for the first semester. Mainly the reasons because some of our M&A activity, the main M&A activity of our build to sell division has moved from Q2 to Q3, Q4. But we definitely plan to catch up during the rest of the year, during the second semester. Just to give you a full picture, we have delivered 4 plants for a total of 29 megawatts in Chile during first half. And now we have 7 more plants in Chile for 65 megawatts. And we also have a plant in Mexico for 35 megawatts. Altogether, we're talking about 100 megawatts that we will fully deliver to external investors between Q3 and Q1 next year. Concerning our leverage, it has increased as planned. This is what we expected. This is due to the debt link to the new plants we're building and the new capex we are building. We are currently at 5.4 times net debt EBITDA. Okay, please consider that this new debt is being raised to projects that still are not generating EBITDA in the period, right? Once these projects start to generate EBITDA, I think they will have a reflection on this ratio. Reviewing our operational achievements, I think we have very good news here. I won't spend too much time reviewing the details here since I will give you plenty more information in the pipeline section, but just a quick summary. Well, great news, Quillagua plant. We have announced. We have been for a long time announcing that the new generation of portfolio was coming. Well, here it is, and it will get increased quarter after quarter. But now we can officially say that we have 103 megawatts connected, and they will start generating revenues from Q4. Concerning, well, so far we have delivered 130, including Quillagua, 132 megawatts of solar PV projects have been built during this year, and we have 160 megawatts more under construction. This is already 300 megawatts. We are increasing our EPC capabilities. We are recruiting new talent and new construction managers, HSC personnel, and we are getting ready for what is coming in 2021 and 2022. Just keep in mind that we are planning to build more than half gigawatt in 2021 and close to 1 gigawatt in 2022. So we definitely need to make sure that the company is ready for this huge challenge. Talking about backlog, well, we have 0.5 gigawatts of backlog. Most of it, as we will see later, is very close to getting to construction. And the best news is we have 1.6 gigawatts of advanced development projects. And a large batch, a large part of it, we are expected to move to backlog very soon. Talking about ESG, we also have pretty good news here. We'll also give you a lot more details later in the presentation, but as we have been stressing in previous presentations, this is a key area for us, definitely strategic, and we are very sure that we are about to be one of the best companies in the industry concerning ESG. We just published our first sustainability report today, along with the results, a great milestone. And the sustainability policy was also approved very recently by the board, and the ESG committee has been created. And we have set up and ratified a roadmap for the next 3 years, which will be a real action plan, and I believe a very ambitious one. So hand over to Daniel for the financials, and I'll be back with the pipeline. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. So if we move to the financial part, if we can look at slide 5. Well, this is what we can see is the first half 2020 total revenue that increased by 5% compared to the same period in 2019. The development and construction division increased its sales volume by 4% to a total of 57.2 million euros, driven by the build and sell of plan, build to sell of plan to international investor. 132 megawatts of solar PV plant were connected during this period, including our biggest project up until now of Quillagua in Chile. The energy division didn't have any sales during the period. However, as soon as Quillagua starts selling the electricity, total 100% capacity, and the wind project are connected, sales will have an exponential growth. And the service division increased its income by 41% year on year, mainly driven by the connection and sale of new plants that even we sell it, we keep the operation, maintenance, and asset management service too. If we go to next slide, which is number 6, it explained the EBITDA for the period. EBITDA for the period reached 9.5 million euros compared to 10.2 million euros in the first half of 2019. That EBITDA was mainly support by the D&C division, as I've already explained, with an EBITDA margin of 31% in total. That margin is just considering sales and EBITDA from third parties. Well, I always like to mention and clarify that regarding D&C EBITDA margins, the sale of a solar PV plant has several invoices with different EBITDA margins depending on if it is the initial SPV sale, normally with very high margins, or an EPC milestone invoice after execution with margins around 10-15%. That's the reason for the fluctuation in margins within the period. The average EBITDA margin for 2018 and 2018 period was 29.8%. If we can look at slide 7, you will see how Grenergy invested 36 million euros during the second quarter, mainly in the project under construction of Kosten, or just 0.7 million euros, Duna Huambos in Peru, 15.2 million euros, and the solar PV Quillagua project, 17.3 million euros. Moving on to slide 8, well, that is the evolution of our cash balance position at group level, the way it evolved in the second quarter of 2020. We started with a cash balance position of 11.9 million euros that was affected positively by the EBITDA of 3.9 million euros and by the change in operating working capital of 8.7 million euros, with a minor impact of 0.8 million euros of taxes and financial expenses cash out. Then we have the growth capex, as explained, of 35.6 million euros, mostly financed with project debt, 33.1 million euros. And there were other short-term debt, 9.5 million to get a final balance position of 33.2 million euros. Finally, let's look at slide number 9. Well, as David mentioned, our overall leverage grew as expected to 5.4 times net debt EBITDA due to company investment in projects that we want to keep for our own portfolio, but still they are not producing EBITDA. So we have the debt, but we don't have the EBITDA generation for those plants. Still, we consider that we have an ample capacity for financing new projects and to be able to achieve our IPP targets. That's all. So I'm going to hand you back again to David, that will explain the pipeline and operations.
Okay, thank you very much, Daniel. Let's move to slide 11, page number 11. We have here we make a summary of the projects country by country and through the different categories. We have reached 4.6 gigawatts in this report. We are pretty confident that we will reach our target of 5 gigawatts before the end of the year, right? We are really working on it. And we believe we will be there at the end of the year. In this update, well, as I mentioned before, we've managed to connect our largest solar PV project until now, this Quillagua, for 1 of 3 megawatts. You can see this column here, which is brand new, and which will get increased quarter by quarter. The total pipeline has increased by 163 megawatts. Compared to the last update. And this is mainly due to the inclusion of new projects in Spain. We have not made this public, but we are adding more than 400 megawatts in Spain in one node. All I can say now is that we will be connecting to Comunidad de Madrid, and the plants will be partly in Madrid, partly in Castilla-La Mancha. We will give more details about this project in the future, and it will be one of our flagship projects in the country. This is 408 megawatts more, and that is offsetting the completion of Quillagua and movements in the early stage projects. We always explain that whenever we are not fully sure that one project is really workable, is really bankable, has a high conversion rate, we just wrote it off and we just removed this project from our pipeline. We really are obsessed and we really want to make sure that we have a high quality pipeline. As we have always explained, we have a different category, which is named Identified Opportunities, but where we are analyzing new projects, but we only move one project into early stage when we are quite sure that it has really high possibilities of moving into advanced development and then backlog and one day operational. Continuing to the next page 12, we always like this graph just to show you the status of our pipeline. This is where we are now, what we have operational, what we have under construction. As I mentioned before, altogether, this is already 260. This is where basically backlog is what we are about to start construction very soon and should be operational next year in 2021. And advanced development gives you an idea where we want to be in 2022 and maybe early 2023. And basically early stage is already, those projects are the projects we are working for 2023, even early 2024. So it's definitely a great graph to show you where we are, where we are planning to be in the short term, and where we are looking at in the medium and long term. For the first time in this slide, we are introducing this column here just to give you an idea very clearly, just so you are able to compare of the differences from the latest update. Okay, so you can see how every category is moving from the latest update. Okay, going to page 13. Just a quick review of the projects one by one. As you can see, Kijawa is no longer here because it got connected. Next in line are our wind projects in Argentina and in Peru. Those markets were more affected by COVID than Chile, and we had to stop completely all works for a few months. We remain positive that Argentina, in the last presentation we mentioned the commissioners from Siemens had to get into the country. We now have a date and they will be commissioning our park during October and early November. So we expect we will be able to commission this park before the end of November. And Duna Huambos situation is now quite similar. Now we finally have managed to move the technicians into the country. And I believe that everything is on track to commission both parks before the end of the year. We have, as I mentioned before, we have altogether 100 megawatts already under construction. This is PMGD projects in Chile, altogether 7 projects. Those will be transferred to third parties during Q3, Q4, and maybe some during Q1 next year. And the same is for Mexico. So altogether we have 100 megawatts currently under construction that will be transferred to third parties. Looking at our backlog, we have close to 0.5 gigawatt. This part will move to under construction very soon. In particular, Escudero's project in Spain, that financial close is nearly there. And we will announce very, very shortly, and we will start construction in the province of Cuenca of this project that is extremely important for us. And so far the largest we have built. In Colombia, we are also about to start the first construction also next month in October of the first plant of 11 megawatts. And Chile is always there and part of these projects, as you see, most of these projects are for our own portfolio. And we also have ready to build the second phase of Quillagua. We are now reaching agreements for the PPA agreements. And we also expect to start construction of the second phase of Quillagua before the end of the year. And this is basically what we are expecting to connect in 2021. Going to the next slide, we also disclose full information about the projects, the advanced development projects. As you can see, there are no changes in Spain. I think altogether is 660 megawatts in advanced development. We are expecting to announce PPA agreements very soon, in any case, before the end of the year, and hopefully even during the end of October or even November. And this will be great news, since most of these projects will be moved to backlog. In Chile, we in advanced development, we have more PMGDs, as we explained in the last presentation. Most of these will also move to backlog very, very soon. And in Colombia, we are about to secure also our first PPA. I don't think we will announce in October, but maybe in November already, we will have the first binding agreement for a PPA in Colombia, and we will also announce to the market. In Peru, as we explained in the last presentation, the parks are nearly ready to build. The market is not yet mature enough to sign PPAs, but we're very sure that it will happen at one point. And we have earned an excellent position in this market. Going to the next slide, well, no big changes here. We confirm our targets for 2021 and 2022. We will announce in the next presentation our targets for 2023, okay? As we already explained, in the last presentation, this is how our IPP, how the picture will look like in 2023, where we will have slightly more than 40% of the energy generation coming from Chile, roughly 40% coming from Spain, and the remaining coming from the rest of Latin America and countries. Well, about ESG, it's been a very important part of this presentation. You know, well, moving to next slide, just a quick summary in three slides. Basically, in this slide 17, we are showing you the work we've done in the last few months. I believe we launched this process roughly a year ago. And I really have to congratulate our internal team for the excellent work they have done. And also we have worked very closely with a consultant, with external consultants. We normally don't make public the number of the consultants, but this time I believe they've done a really good work. We really worked together with them, and they are EY. And I think they've done a really, really good job. And I also have to congratulate them. We would like to explain how we have created a sustainability governance in Greenergy, and how we are moving our focus on ESG aspects. As you may know, we have reported today the approval and publication of our first sustainability report for 2019. This report, as mentioned, has been produced after a period of internal and external diagnosis and materiality assessment analysis led by the management committee and already approved by the board of directors. In addition to this report, the board of directors has approved the company's sustainability policy, which will involve setting up an ESG committee that will implement a three-year action plan on social and environmental and governance. This is what we are calling internally Roadmap 2023. And this is under the supervision of the audit and control committee of the company. This sustainability report includes the recommendations made by the task force on climate-related financial disclosures, and the contents of international sustainability reporting standards, such as the Global Reporting Initiative. Well, moving to the next slide, this is basically our action plan to be the best in class in ESG. You can see our 2023 roadmap, 3-year action plan based basically in 4 objectives, approved by the ESG policy and focus on 5 core functional areas. There are an important number of actions to be implemented during the next 3 years, and we have already started organizing those actions, so we give priority to those ones that we consider more urgent. Finally, in slide number 19, you can see some of the main KPIs you will find in the sustainability report. In our opinion, the private sector should calculate its rates of social return basically by asking questions each time we develop a new project. How many people have benefit from the activity carried out by our company around them, and in what way? That's we believe the key question. We're very sure that green energy is at the forefront of the effort to combat climate change, just by the nature of our business, which is in the midst of the clean energy transition. However, at green energy, we understand that valuing projects via their internal rate of return alone paints an incomplete picture, and we are targeting the ability to quantify that community impact in the short term, and this is, we believe, the critical point. Okay, thank you very much once again, and I believe it's now Luis's turn to focus on our services division. Thank you.
Thank you, David, for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. In the presentation of the service division, we will initially provide an overview of the division itself. Then we will go through the track record and show the evolution since 2009 until 2022. And finally, we will get into our digitalization process and implementation of new technologies. As we can see in slide 21, the service division start its operation once the development and construction division finish and completes its work and the asset becomes operational. Basically, the service department is compounded by 2 blocks of service: asset management and operation and maintenance. In asset management, we are in charge of the financial management of the SPVs, including accounting, tax compliance, loan or project finance management, and the energy sale management. And in operation and maintenance, we are responsible for the real-time monitoring of the assets. We strive to reduce the downtimes. And also, we are in charge of the preventive and corrective maintenance, and also a very relevant part, which is the health and safety compliance. Our clients, as a division, are mainly 2 types. The first one are asset owners of projects previously developed and constructed by Grenergy, and also Grenergy itself as an APP. You can see in the next slide that we are now moving on. We analyzed as I said before, the track record. We started backing our O&M and asset management services back in 2009 with a portfolio in Spain. It has been increasing to a new country in 2016 in Chile, which also are a significant increase in power managed, but I think that the most relevant increase is taking place at the moment in 2020. We will be managing by the end of the year a portfolio of 450 megawatts, which is a very significant increase from the, in just 4 years from 2016. In 2020, we will be also managing 60 megawatts of wind projects, which is also very relevant for our division. This growth will not stop in 2020. We expect to reach 927 megawatts in 2021 in at least 6 countries, which means more or around doubling the power managed in 2020. And finally, we will be ready by the end of 2022 to manage a portfolio of around 2 gigawatts. And our procedures and the design of our division is ready to manage in a proper way all this increasing portfolio. We have adapted in the service division our operations to this increase of activity. As I said, we are moving from 30 megawatts in 2016 to around 927 megawatts in 2021, and it is of course a challenge that involves investment, involves a design of a good structure, and introduction of new technologies, and design of a proper strategy for managing all these assets. We will now move to the last slide. Here, just for all the challenges that we are facing in terms of increasing the portfolio. As I said, from 30 megawatts in 2016 to 2 gigawatts in 2022, it means that we need to adapt to this reality and to this size of portfolio, which is a very relevant increase. We, for example, for in terms of field operation, we have improved our daily operations by using a new CMMS and a new ERP for technician coordination. Also by the use of drones for thermographic inspections and also optimization of water usage in order to reduce the impact in the environment. From an asset control perspective, in Grenergy, we are running a 24/7 monitoring system based on a cloud technology accessible from anywhere at any time. In Spain, we will have one hub for Europe, replicating LATAM's structure and benefiting from our expertise in Latin America. As part of the optimization process in the financial field, we have focused our operations in the digitalization of the energy sale invoicing, financial reporting, and coordination with tax authorities. We also have focus on the health and safety procedures, and also tracking of ESG aspects. This is the description of our department, the track record, the new implementation, new technologies, innovations, and this is a little bit the summary. And now I would like to hand over back to Daniel for the conclusion.
Okay, thank you, Luis. So now we are moving to the Q&A session. If you have any question, please send a direct message to the administrator using the chat available in the tool. Just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write the content on it, and we will let you speak as soon as we receive that message. Thank you. Okay, I think we have a question coming from Jorge Guimaraes from GB Capital.
Hi. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my questions. Actually, I have four. Firstly, if you were mentioning during the presentation that you expect to put Los Escuderos into construction before year end, I assume that this contingent to the closing of the financing. So if it's possible to enter into some, give us some kind of indication of what would be the cost. I mean, rough figures below 3%, below 2%, below 4%. This would be the first one. The second one would be about the evolution of PPA signing in Spain. There was a mention during the call that you expect to announce new contracts until year end. So if you mentioned you are 70-80% advanced on this process, would it be for all the capacity or would be the news park by park? And what type of, if possible, what type of price range are we talking about? And then the final one would be what is the evolution, the expected evolution of CapEx per megawatt on solar PV? And what type of development margins are you being able to obtain at this moment? And these would be my four questions. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. Well, I got three questions. The first one on Escuderos, second one on PPAs in Spain, and the third one on CapEx. Which one is the fourth? Just to make sure I didn't miss anything.
I think David was regarding development margins.
Okay. But well, related to CapEx, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so about Escuderos, we are nearly there. I mean, it's about a matter of days. I believe that this plan, that this financial closing will get achieved, and we are planning to start construction before the end of October. In fact, we have, I mean, a long time ago, maybe 3-4 months, we already ordered some of the components like trafos and the construction of the line, the construction liner also started, just to make sure that we are shortening the chronographs, right? Because we are expecting to have these four plants of 50 megawatts, which is what it really is, operational before the end of Q2 next year. Project will be, still is not public, it will be financed by two banks in a jointly deal. One will be an international bank and the other one will be a local bank. And well, you mentioned the rates of interest is in the low range. It's definitely very competitive conditions, right? Between 2 and 2.25% for a tenor of 17 years. About the PPAs in Spain, we are working very hard to secure PPAs for, well, I'm going to share the presentation again. We are now securing the PPAs for this lot of 660 megawatts in total. And we are currently working very hard, and I hope we can announce definitely before the end of the year, but we really expect to make the announcements before that, okay? We are talking about 11, 12 years tenor, starting at the end of 2022, and we never really disclosed the conditions, but well, maybe they will be between the mid and the low 30s. This is what we are currently working for just for solar. Well, about the CapEx evolution, I have to say, well, and it's really fresh since we just closed the EPC for Scudero's plant, and I think for 200 megawatts, it's been around 95 million euros. It means that already including the interconnection line and the substations and the common infrastructure we are sharing with all the developers, we have we are close to 450,000 euros. If you consider just the solar plant without the substation and the interconnections line, I believe we are close to 400,000 euros per megawatt. This value was even lower, like 2-3 at one point. Due to COVID, the prices of solar panels went down so rapidly. But I think somehow they are going up slightly. We are still definitely lower than pre-COVID, but I believe that the prices for panels will remain somehow stable during 2021. This is at least our perspective. Concerning the development and construction margins, your last question, they remain pretty solid in Chile. As you know, we are transferring the so-called PMGDs. Well, we have an extraordinary, very good position in the market, and there is a very high demand of these type of assets. And well, we are able to make very competitive processes where we get maybe 10 LOIs and many potential buyers are showing their interest. So we remain confident that we're going to keep the margins at least in the next 2 years in this type of assets, right? And the asset that we are also planning to transfer in Mexico, it has a PPA. The situation in Mexico is not really the best for renewables, but still there are no new assets, so there are very little projects in the market with 20 years PPA, and this is one of them. And there is also been a very high interest in the market, and we are planning to transfer this to a third party too. I'm not sure, Jorge, if you need further clarification of any point. Maybe the operator can.
Moderator, if you can give the word to Jorge.
Sí, me escucháis?
Sí, perfectamente.
Sí, han contestado casi todo lo que estaba preguntando, pero tuve aquí un tema de conexión. Sorry, I was speaking in Castellano.
Yeah.
when you mentioned margins to be stable over the next 3 years in PMGDs, you mentioned, I assume you mentioned gross margins on the 20% range, correct? Because I did not hear because there was a problem with connection.
Maybe Daniel, you can reply to that, but I think we are making higher margins than that, definitely, in this segment.
Okay.
More in the range of 30-35%.
Okay. Okay. No. I was not trying to confirm the number. I just wanted to because I did not hear. That's
okay. Okay. Fine. Okay. Thank you, Jorge.
Thank you, Jorge. Okay. So, moderator, if you can unmute Antonio from CaixaBank.
Yes, good morning. Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much. I have three questions on my side. First will be in terms of accountability, because you have a positive DNA during the quarter. I was wondering if you could give us some detail here or some light. Also, this is in terms of strategy. I would like to know if you will consider entering into new markets such India, Malaysia, as we can see that you are still focused on LATAM. I'm talking about more 22 or 23. And also, I would like to know if you reiterate your target of 1.0 gigawatts of installed capacity by 23, by N22, sorry. or if we could see some projects jumping into first Q23 or first half. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Maybe Daniel, you can reply the first one.
Yes, sure. Antonio, regarding your question about the depreciation and amortization, that as you can see is a positive figure of 321,000 euros in the first half. Well, the amortization was negative, of course, of minus 390,000 euros, but we have a positive effect in depreciation of 712,000 euros. That corresponds to the reverse of an impairment that we made in previous year in the Mexican project of San Miguel de Allende. That impairment is no longer necessary because the situation in Mexico now allows us, we are building the project. So that's the reason of having a positive effect in that P&L line.
Okay. If this is clear, we can go back to Antonio later. About the new markets, it's no secret that we are looking at new markets. I think we are, after all, a small, medium company. So we really want to have the focus on markets where we can become a relevant player, relevant actor. And our focus now is been in LATAM for the last few years, basically Chile and Colombia, and to some extent Peru. Those are three markets where we have a greenfield strategy and where we are doing pretty well. This is in Latin America. We are now coming back to Spain after several years. We are building again in Spain. The last plant we commissioned here was back in 2013 under feed-in tariff. Spain will be a key pillar, a key in our strategy for the next few years. And we're looking at markets more in Europe. I don't think it's India and Malaysia are markets for us, at least at this point. And we are more looking at markets with hard currencies in Europe. And I think we will announce this very, very soon. And in particular, we're looking with great interest and the situation in Italy. About our targets for 2022, yes, we do reiterate our objectives for one point of 1.5 gigawatts for 2022. If you look at our advanced development projects, we have a lot more than our target. I mean, I'll share again. Just looking at our advanced development, we have 1.6 gigawatts, only in Spain 660, and a lot also in Chile. It's really difficult to say whether we will face some delays. I think in Spain we are right there, but look at the CODs, it's the end of 2022, so there is a possibility that part of those projects will move to early 2023. We will have a very busy time at the end of 2023, but we also have many more projects. You look at the advanced development, 1.6, and our target is 800. So I think we have room. So even if some parks move to early 2023, we will still have room. But I think we will be there. We're very confident already about 2021. And we are struggling and going as fast as we can concerning 2022. And we will give some visibility on 2023 very, very soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Antonio, I hope your question are being answered by David. He's telling me that's okay. by the chat. Okay, so I think we have a final question coming from Daniel Rodriguez, a sell-side analyst in Fidentist. Moderator, could you open his microphone?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. Hi, this is Daniel Rodriguez from Fidentist. Just a quick question. Basically, I would like to understand what is your view on the potential impact of the recent regulatory change introduced by the government. Remember that there was a royal decree law where they introduced different rules in order to get the access to the grid. Basically, they established like a period that I think finished last week in order to drop the projects. So if I remember correctly, there were like 100 gigawatts of capacity with grid access. And I would like to know what is your view on how many of these projects will finally materialize into actual installations, and also what could be the impact and whether this is impacting the PPA market, because we see, I mean, this is not only a situation for you, we see very few deals on PPAs, on long-term PPAs, and we don't know whether this could be provoked by the risk of new capacity coming into the market. Sorry, was a little bit long.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for the question. Well, it's going to try to be quick since we are a bit out of time. But concerning the regulatory changes, all we can say is that we have confirmed all our projects. Well, our projects were already in most of the projects we have in Spain were already advanced development. Means that we have already submitted all the projects to Industria some time ago, and we were not affected by this rule of the 10 kilometers diameter that has really affected a lot of developers. And some of them, we still don't have the figures, but because the last day was 25th of September, but we believe that some developers have renounced to part of their projects. And it was the intention of the government to somehow clean a little bit the market. What our experience in Spain and compared to other markets is that achieving the ready-to-build status is really long process for large projects, much longer than expected. So we are talking about 4 years or even 5 years, and I believe that when we started the development effort again in Spain back in 2016, we thought it was a matter of maximum 3 years, 36 months. And to be honest, especially if you're sharing the interconnection with other developers, it's a much longer process, I would say minimum 4 years. And still you don't find really plenty of ready to build projects in the market, and this is also affecting the PPAs. Well, we remain not that bullish on the PPA market just for solar. That's true. I mean, we want to secure the PPAs as soon as possible for our projects. There is an enormous wave of new projects, but it's hard to say how many will actually make it to the end. And it's also difficult to say in the medium term how many projects we actually will make it to the grid. Yeah. But well, in our case, we are now about to announce we want to secure the PPAs for all our advanced development projects. And we will also try to secure PPAs for our early stage projects as soon as possible, because, well, we believe that it could be challenging in Spain, as you mentioned, to get a PPA just for solar, at least for a very long, for a term longer than 10 years. And that's our perspective on the PPA market in Spain.
Okay, so Daniel, if you can write me if it's okay with that answer. I think we are getting rid of time. So if there is somebody else that would like to make any question, I hope you can write to the investor email so I can give you a proper answer. And let's conclude this presentation. So David, if you want to conclude the presentation.
No, I'm fine. I think it worked somehow well. So I believe we will be keep using video in the future. Thanks again, all of you for your time. Well, hope to see you very soon. I think before around mid-November, we will submit the results for Q3. And well, I hope we can give very consistent news in the next few weeks. So just keep an eye on all the updates. Thank you very much.
Thank you.